hard to stay on the right track, or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRHA or any of those guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, and the opinions expressed here are ours and ours alone.
Where is our fair weather friend anyway?
Who's our fair weather friend?
Our fair.
Oh, he's off traveling. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Yeah, Marty's all over the place.
Yeah.
He's always traveling now.
He's a traveling man.
He's got things going on.
He's made a lot of stops.
How's your knee, Shelley?
Not so hot. Starting to throb.
Ibuprofen
is not really helping.
Take three.
I can't. They're 800. You can only take one.
No.
You could take
one every 8 hours.
Take
eight.
Every 1 hour. No,
every
you
one
can't
hour.
Do that. My liver will collapse.
I was going to say, it's ibuprofen. It's
but
tough on the liver.
But your knee won't hurt.
I love it because if you look at regular Advil, it tells you not to take more than whatever it is, 4 or 6 in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You take an ibuprofen 800 and it's like...
You're already... Well,
it's like 8 of them right there.
No. It's the same. It actually ends up being about the same amount. The difference is with the prescription strength ibuprofen, you're getting a lot more of it in your system all at once.
Right.
So it's supposed to knock the pain down, and then you take it again 8 hours later. But so you're actually over the same period of time, you're getting about the same number of milligrams as is recommended on the bottle of the over-the-counter stuff.
So you're totally not an addict.
It says take one every 8 hours. That's
you know what you should do with the next one?
Crush it up and snort it?
Or slam it.
Crush it up and snort it. Shelly comes in with a zinger.
Right.
Yes.
No.
Zinger from Shelly. Knowing that this is purely an entertainment show, depending on how you look at it, I don't know how entertaining people think it is, but we have been ranking number one for a while now. Like, I don't know.
Podomatic's broken and we have like 5 fans.
We were number one the way they went down. Then they went down.
Like 10 or 11 days in a row or something like that.
We just have a lot of fans that are really, really, really intent on making sure their likes are registered. And when they don't think they are, they like again and again and again.
Yeah. So they keep going up on the site.
I'll tell you what. We did have a thing the other day where in one day we had like, it was like wild. There was like 33 likes on a show. And I was like, and since it's hard to do, I'm like, how did that happen?
What?
That means...
What?
That it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. The dudes are on.
The dudes are tight.
Get off my cord.
Wow.
The dudes are...
Shelly's having a little knee issue.
Okay.
A little me issue?
Knee.
Okay.
All right. Where are we? Where were we?
Right
we
there.
We're in Laguna Beach. Where
right
are you, Shelly?
I'm in Germany.
Meds 5, Shelly 1.
It's ibuprofen.
You're in Germany, though.
Okay,
it's a prescription bottle with your name on it.
No, we're going to Germany. I see.
At the 245th National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society, which is the world's largest scientific society.
Oh. I
like
the
they
name.
Were trying to determine, there's a bit of a mystery in Germany, because they're trying to figure out how arsenic levels in beer sold in Germany are higher. Okay, you have the water, you've got all the other ingredients that you use to brew the beer, right?
Yes.
Not a lot of arsenic on all that. So how is
in
the
theory.
End product coming out on the other end with too much arsenic? And they couldn't figure it out.
Arsenic and arsenic.
Do they have upset housewives as beer makers?
Yeah.
No. So they tested 140 samples of different beers sold all over Germany, and they have a little monitoring program. They also found lead and several other natural toxins in these beers that are being sold, currently being sold.
I would check the water.
No, the water was clean.
I
What they discovered was that the brewing process itself, the materials in the equipment, is leaching the heavy metals and things into the beer.
Ah.
So that's where it's coming from. But it took all this time. Apparently they've been studying this for quite a while, trying to figure this out, and nobody thought, gee, what's the equipment made out of?
It, which is amazing because, you know, like if you've got an allergy to nuts or something, you look on packages, it'll tell you right on there, hey, this is made with machinery that also does something with flour, that does something with nuts, because they're letting you know that there's going to be trace issues of it.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd be one of the first things they would look at.
You would think, but...
They know the products they're using are clean, which means it's the production process.
They were busy drinking.
The phrase, science may one day accomplish this, but it hasn't done so yet.
Yep.
In terms of our alcoholism and addiction. The FDA panel has voted 10-4 in favor of limited trials of a new drug to treat opioid dependence. It's a subdermal implant, which means they stick it under your skin. It acts for like 3 to 6 months, whatever, however long, you know, that the drug has an active amount. They did find it's called probufene, something like that.
The newest designer drug, probufene.
They did find that it assisted, now I think I've cut off the number. It was like 40-something percent of the people that, wait, no, I can scroll down.
That's only half, not even half.
That, well, yeah, but when you're talking about something that will get people completely off of a drug, that's a huge amount. Oh, no, that's how much this company's shares increased.
Beautiful.
Did you, well, anyway,
nobody got better, but if you held stock of the company, you made a crap load of money.
Yeah, you got really better.
We are big business, I'm telling you.
So this is an implant. Can the implant be opened?
No.
Can you get the material out of the implant?
No, not
maybe
unless you
four
cut
sets
it,
of it and then
not,
slam it and see
no,
what happens?
No, not unless you cut it out of your skin.
Can you have two of them implanted?
No, just one.
Can you have four of them implanted? Yeah. What happens?
Yeah. I don't know.
Overdose.
Interesting enough, in this study, they found that they had 163 people that were in the first study, not the actual clinical trial. Of those 163 patients, 20% of them had an opioid dependence due to illicit drugs like heroin. 80% of them, prescription meds. And it was a random sampling from around the country.
163 people?
Yeah, small group. But it was a random sampling around the country.
Because I got to believe you could have had a much bigger group if you'd have just like gone around and said, we're going to give you free opioids for this amount of time. Who wants to play?
Yeah.
We want to study you. Your dope will be free during that time.
You know what? You could go to any fraternity, get the entire frat in on it.
Possibly. Here's what you could do. Really
could
save
a bunch of
money
housewives.
Really save a bunch of money on the study. You could go to a chemical dependency unit, and you could take everybody in there. No, just take everybody in there and say, we'll pay for you to get sober when this study's over.
If
but we want
alive.
You to use just a little bit longer.
Yeah, if you're alive.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
You could start the study without even having to give them anything.
That's true.
First round was already done.
That is true.
Bill sent me an interesting story that had a list of like seven disgusting habits that people do that may actually be good for you. Or not disgusting, but like bad habits that people, some of them are disgusting.
Drinking wine.
He sent me, no. He sent me the list because one of my favorite things that I've often said, you know, I have to have my Cocoa Pebbles at night in bed. Eating in bed may actually aid your digestion. Dr. Reed of some sort of
place.
Hospital thingy, whatever, said if you're eating in a rush or are stressed or tense, you'll get a conflict in the gut and end up with indigestion or other gastric symptoms. If you are relaxed, and what better place to relax than in bed, digestion is easier.
So if you just ate in the bathroom, you'd be completely relaxed. And if it was a problem, it would be taken care of with a very minimum of effort.
That's true. You wouldn't have to move.
There you go.
Thank you, Bill, for proving what I've always known, that Cocoa Pebbles are good for you.
Okay, that might be a stretch, but I like how you drew the line, Shelley.
You know what? Yeah. And I got to tell you, because Cocoa Pebbles were on sale the other day. I got some for me as well.
Yeah.
Not, she says she likes Cocoa Pebbles better than
Cocoa Krispies
because she says they're more chocolatey.
You can't like Cocoa Pebbles better than Cocoa Krispies.
Wait, now. She said because it's more chocolatey. Cocoa Puffs are, because I had some of these Cocoa Pebbles. Cocoa Puffs are way more chocolatey. Way more chocolatey.
Cocoa Krispies are just better.
No, I don't like Cocoa Krispies. They get soggy too fast, and they're not chocolatey enough.
You have to eat them quicker.
If they get, I want to
enjoy my experience.
If they get soggy faster, they have that Clark Griswold cereal sheen.
The other thing is, if you eat the Cocoa Krispies, and because they get soggy, it's because the milk pulls so much out of them, and then you throw the milk away when you're done, the calories go with the milk.
But you can't throw the milk away. You have to drink the milk.
No, you throw the milk away. That way you don't get any calories from the Cocoa Krispies.
But the milk is half the fun.
But it's all the calories.
You have chocolate milk afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help.
Jeez. You're doing it wrong.
I've never thrown milk away.
It's the same thing if you dunk Oreo cookies in milk, and then when you're done, you throw the milk away. Calories all go out. You're fine.
Is that like eating candy in the movies? If you eat it in the dark and you can't see it, there are no calories? It
doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. All right. Okay, we are moving on.
Up.
No, we're moving to Laredo, Texas.
Well, it's east of here. I have to wonder
how much money these people got paid or who's getting the kickback on this, because these people could all go for free to an AA meeting and take the 20-question quiz. The Community Coalition, I don't know what that is, but they are offering free exams to determine if a person has a drinking problem. And if the problem is determined, they can receive counseling and rehabilitation services. They're offering people to come in for free, tell us your life history, we'll tell you if you have a problem with alcoholism. And if you do, great, we can fix it. So who's making money here?
That's awesome.
The places they're referring people to go to treatment after they determine they have problems.
Apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently April is the National Campaign Month Against Alcohol Abuse. Did you know that?
I did not.
That's Autism Awareness Month.
Yes.
April's a lot of things.
Yes, and April 20th is the most important day of the year.
420.
No. You don't know why. It's National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day.
Is it really?
Yes.
I'll make one.
We need one.
That will have already gone by.
I just made one last week.
By the time this
show
goes
up. But 420, 420 is an important day to a lot of people.
Dude.
4:20 in the afternoon on April 20th. Getting stoned.
Okay, let's see. Oh, I thought this was amusing. They're calling it the Disneyfication of Times Square. Apparently in New York now, when you go to Times Square, it used to be like, you know, this, you know, beaten down, it's like, what do they call it, the crossroads of the world or whatever they call it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Now it is Disneyland. People, in order to make a buck, have taken to putting on character suits and having their pictures taken with people's, you know, tourists' kids for money.
And molesting people.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Cookie Monster the other day shoved a child and cursed at his mother because she didn't tip him fast enough.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Several other characters have been arrested. Can you imagine being 7 years old and having Elmo arrested in front of you?
For knocking you down.
That would just mess with your head. That would be bad.
Elmo's a real prick.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, Super Mario groped a woman the other day.
Well, he's got those big hands.
That's true. Elmo was ranting anti-Semitic diatribes. Spider-Man punched
I knew
a woman.
That about him.
Wait.
Spider-Man punched a woman in the face, and now this kid's been attacked by a Cookie Monster. And those are just the ones where there's actually been arrest, because they think that a lot of times weird crap happens with the tourists and these character people.
And they're too embarrassed to say anything.
And they're too embarrassed to say anything. Can you imagine?
I got groped by Batman.
Yeah. You don't go up and say, Sleeping Beauty hit on my husband. I mean, what are you going to say, people? So anyway, of course, Bloomberg, in his infinite wisdom, creating his little nanny state archipelago out there, and has decided that they need to find a way to create laws to regulate these characters. And the cops are
He's very big on creating laws, isn't he?
You know what? They do that in Hollywood all the time.
Yeah.
You walk around Hollywood, there's people that dress up like everybody. And they'll take pictures. And the Spider-Man
The big Gumby wants everybody to be his pony pal pokey.
Well, you know what? The Spider-Man that I saw down there in Hollywood, his outfit was a little shabby.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't too clean.
We've got a story from West Covina.
Oh, that's close.
Yes, West Covina, California.
Oh, is this? No, this isn't Walmart, is it?
No.
Oh, my God. Did you hear about that?
No.
Or not Walmart, Home Depot?
Yes, this is Home Depot.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
The name of the guy is not in the story, but a gentleman at Home Depot in West Covina decided to use a handsaw and cut his arms off. Now,
I wonder how you cut the
other arm off.
How,
he didn't, actually. He didn't end up being able to cut anything off, but he cut himself deeply enough
down
that he was
to
going
bone.
To die.
He's going to die?
He was going to die. He was going to bleed out. He
oh.
cut himself down to the bone. He was very intent on what he did, according to Lieutenant Rudy Lopez of the police department. Several people in the story, including an off-duty paramedic, and I'll get to that in a second, were able to stop the bleeding and keep him alive.
Super glue.
Yeah, they kept him alive. They got him to Queen of the Valley Medical Center, and he underwent surgery. And then they closed the store for the rest of the day. The off-duty paramedic is a member of my church.
Really?
Yes. His last name's Hurtado, Mr. Hurtado. I don't actually know. We always call him Mr. Hurtado. I don't know his first name.
Mister.
Yes. I was pretty impressed. Yes.
That's to Mr. Hurtado for stopping the
they
bleeding.
They called him Mister. His sister was called Sister Hurtado.
Sister, Mister. Yes, I was quite impressed.
That's really cool.
Awesome.
I used to know a guy who was a collector. He used to collect for people. Said it was $100 to break a guy's leg if he didn't pay you, and $300 to break the second one. And we said, why is it $300 for the second one? He said, because he's squirming after the first one. It's harder to break the second one.
Oh, jeez.
Brother.
It's really hard to cut off your second arm.
It really is. You gotta
especially
be,
with a handsaw.
You got to be
yeah.
committed.
He could have gone to one of those bandsaws where they
yeah.
cut.
Yeah.
Where they cut wood and done it
right
quick.
And quick, just turn the thing on and run both arms at the same time. He was looking for attention.
Oh, wow.
Really.
He got it.
Was there drugs involved in that?
It doesn't say.
I bet there was.
In Long Island, New York, Brittany Ozarowski, 21 years old, she's been indicted on fraud, charges of fraud. She spent over a year faking cancer to get donations to feed her heroin addiction.
Idiots. Well, I mean, enterprising heroin addict, but that's a rough way to do it.
Oh, yeah. She posted, it started with a Facebook page that she put up that where she posted that in September of 2011, she was diagnosed with stage 2 ovarian cancer as well as stomach cancer. And she's had treatments, blah, 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 goes on with her sob story. And then she was cancer-free for a while, and then they found that she had a tumor on her left hip, and then they found out she has bone cancer as well.
If she has bone cancer, it's over.
Yeah. So she's got all these, she's claimed she has all these medical bills. Her next-door neighbor believed her because she's on heroin. She looks like crap.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be really easy to play that off.
Yeah. She's skinny as a rail. She looks like crap. Her neighbor thought, wow, she's really not doing well. She, you know, this cancer's really eating her up. So her neighbor raised $10,000 and gave it to her to help pay with her medical bills.
That was nice of them.
Then they had fundraisers at grocery stores. They had car washes. They had bake sales. They had a foundation set up from this woman and started funneling all this money to her to pay for her
Did
medical bills.
Did they have an Oreo stacking contest?
It doesn't say that. I'm trying. Here, take this. There's no place to. Here, I'll put that down there. I have to scroll up. And a local store owner even bought T-shirts and had them printed up with the foundation name as a fundraiser.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So she now
you know, that's a community coming together for somebody.
Yeah, it is.
I don't care what it was
for. It
takes
a community to raise a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't actually say. I can't figure out, because I know I read this story earlier, but I can't figure out how they found out that she was faking it. Well, she's not dead yet.
She's not
so
dead.
I guess that was part of it, but it doesn't say. Oh, we're way past time. Okay. And that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
We have a topic.
We do.
What would that be?
What is it, Shelley? Epic pause.
Do you think you can trust me to remember the topic?
I don't know.
Trust no one.
Trust no one.
They're out there.
You're over 30. Can't trust you. Trust in the fellowship. I saw a post on Facebook from a show fan, actually. And I guess I can... say his name because it's John the Hebrew, so it's not like his first and last name. But
might be his first
name. Had been at a meeting where they were talking about trust in the fellowship and how this one person was kind of pissed off because they got out of treatment and they had someone move in with them who had been in treatment. And
that was the first mistake.
And that over time, small items were missing. Which were kind of easily explainable as things would go, and then eventually big items were missing. And, you know, how horrible it is that they couldn't trust someone in the fellowship. So we're going to talk about trusting in the fellowship. Now, if I kick it off, I would say that trusting maybe people with time would be a little bit safer.
Beneficial to trusting a newcomer?
Than trusting someone brand new. What do you think about that, Shelley?
What?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
You know, that's what I get for trusting, that she actually listens to the discussion.
She pays no attention to us.
I was kind of listening, but I got my lip goo out because my lips are a little bit dry, and there's a big divot gouged out of the top of it, and I can't figure out why, and I can't figure out who else would be messing with my lip goo.
Well,
you are on medication.
Ibuprofen.
I didn't realize ibuprofen was that mind altering.
Okay. Anyway, what was your question?
What do you think about trust in the fellowship? I had mentioned that it might be more advantageous to lay your trust in people with more time.
I don't know. I have trust issues, not because I don't trust anybody, but because I can't live my life not trusting. I feel uncomfortable with myself. I don't like it. I'm one of those people that I will trust you until you give me a really good reason not to. You know?
That may have been what this person did, because at first they were small items that you could have easily misplaced.
Right, I heard
and
that part.
That wasn't a really good reason not to trust them until the large items started missing.
I don't know. I to be honest, I'm not sure what I would do. Well, what I have done in my life when people have broken my trust. I mean, there are some people that have repeatedly broken my trust. And
they're habitual line steppers?
Yeah, and I've sort of done things that to protect myself while maintaining the relationship, which is difficult to do, but I've done it. You know, setting boundaries with that person. But I can't, you know, there are some people that in the program that won't trust anybody in the program because, you know, we're all addicts and alcoholics. Why would you trust somebody like that? I can't live my life like that. I'm not comfortable without a certain level of trust.
How about you, Mark? How are you about trusting people? Do you do the same kind of thing or no?
I'm careful about it in the rooms. You know, because we are what we are. And somebody comes into the program and they're newly sober, working on getting recovery, isn't that far removed from their last game?
Right.
And the closer you are to it, the easier it is to repeat it.
True.
It's like the closer you are to your last high, the more likely you are to repeat it. You know, that's why as people get more time, it's a pretty good chance they're not going to get loaded again.
I've run into this issue at work.
Yeah, you know, I look at the trust issue in the fellowship. I'm very careful what I share in meetings.
The anonymity thing?
The anonymity thing. It's just, it's hard to trust the fact that, you know, that people aren't idiots, because they are.
You have a good one.
I
you
do.
Had a guy you sponsored.
Uh-huh.
That heard something about someone getting loaded.
Uh-huh.
What was his great idea to do with that?
He wanted to go to the guy's employer.
And tell him.
And tell him. For the good of his of the business.
Yeah, that so doesn't break any anonymity.
No can do. His thing was he shared it with me in the parking lot outside of a meeting, not in the meeting itself. And we don't, you know, as being the dope fiends and alcoholics that we are, we don't try to find our way around rules, ever,
right.
Do we?
Yeah, no, never.
So he, you know, he was like, "Wait, I found a loophole," and no, that's not a loophole. You don't get to do that. You know, you don't get to break traditions. The problem is the people coming in today don't get taken through the traditions.
Well, and that guy. Went, you had another sponsee that you sent to talk to this guy because this guy was a former heroin addict.
Yeah.
And your sponsee was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And he went to him trusting in the fact
that
this guy's going to help him out.
Yeah.
And what he got answered with is, "I'm going to go tell your boss."
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think so. And it turned into a, you know, a big deal, but it showed me a lot also. You know, I trust a lot of people with time in these rooms, but I trust people in the program the way I trust people in real life. You know, because sometimes, and you know, and saying that, I look at that and I go, sometimes the program isn't real life.
That's true.
You know, it's my real life, but it's sometimes not real life.
Everyone's loving, caring, sharing, and giving in the meeting, and then you walk out of the meeting, and then it's like not everyone walks the way they talk.
Yeah, yeah. So the people I know that walk the way they, that do walk the talk, or talk the walk, or walk the walk, I'll tend to trust more. There are people in the program I trust absolutely. You know, including they're in this room, you know, it's, but you know, there's people I trust absolutely. There's other people that.
Not so much.
Not so much, yeah. You know, so it's difficult, and it's a hard thing, and it's, the thing I tell people is remember who you're sharing to.
And, a dope fiend and an alcoholic.
And there's certain things that might be a good idea to only talk to your sponsor about. However, lately I seem to have heard a lot of more women, and I'll say all women because it had to be all women I've heard it from, have a really hard time finding themselves sponsors when they've got about between 4 and 7 years. If they don't currently, if their sponsor is no longer their sponsor, they don't have a sponsor because they say they can't find any other women in the program they trust.
Shelley?
I think that a large part of that is...
Shelley's available to sponsor, ladies.
True. When I was young, there was something my sponsor and I, we actually did this together because she said she was guilty of it too. She said she didn't like the fact that women gossiped amongst each themselves.
Yep.
And she felt that, you know, and she knew that she did it, and she said she was setting a bad example, and she said, "I don't want us to do that anymore. That's my directive, you know, mm-hmm. My suggestion is that we not gossip."
Yeah, she told me she told you that. She said that at coffee. Let me tell you what I was talking to one of my sponsees about. I told him not to gossip anymore. You know, she just doesn't really listen.
And since that time, I have actually had women come to me. And, you know, yes, I'm like the sponsee killer. They come to me. I sponsor them for a little while. They run off and do whatever they're going to do. But one of the things that several of them have come back to me later when they do finally get sober and they get a sponsor, another sponsor or whatever, is that they appreciated the fact that anything that they told me, they never heard from anybody else.
Yep.
Because my sponsor trained me not to, what people tell you in confidence, you don't talk to other people about.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that that is, I don't think that aspect of it is discussed very much because, you know, we do talk about our stories together. And
yeah.
Like, you know, when we're sitting down at coffee, we BS about what so-and-so did or what so-and-so mm-hmm. did, but not, I'll give you an example. Bruce talks a long line of crap about everybody he knows.
Yes.
But when it comes to the stuff that he shares with his sponsees and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I've never heard a single word.
Yeah.
I don't hear that stuff. I'm not allowed.
Yeah.
And I don't challenge it. You know, if he has somebody come over that he needs to talk to, like one of the first things I say is, oh, do I need to leave? Because I know that that's not, mm-hmm. that's private.
Right.
You know, and that distinction isn't made clear, so I
sure.
think that a lot of women do have trust issues because they hear this stuff back from other women.
And if I'm talking about something that's going on, it's like something that's done in front of multiple people or something.
Right.
Oh, my God,
right.
I can't believe what so-and-so did.
Exactly.
You know, and half the time when we're gossiping with the same group of people that watched it happen in the
exactly.
first place.
Exactly.
Kind of like one of those shock factor things, like, I can't believe when he did it. Oh, could you believe it, dude? He did it
yeah.
to me. Now, I have guys in the program that have worked for me over time. And I'm a little like Shelley in that way. You know, I trust them until they give me a reason not to. We had a guy, went on a delivery. We get a call from the woman whose delivery it was. I'm missing 3 rings. Uh-oh. And it was a guy with relatively new who I will give partial props, who admitted to it, told us where he pawned the rings at. We were able to get the rings back. But, you know, then it's like guy comes to me one time and says, hey, you got any work for me? I'm like, you know, maybe not. You know, and I like the guy.
We could have gone all day without having to rehash this story.
Yeah, I like.
Still burns deep inside.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm one of those people. You know what? If you tell me something in confidence, I'm not going to tell anybody. And if we're talking inventory or anything to do with program,
yeah.
it just shut your mouth. Now, the thing with having people, you know, we had a guy. Shelly and I had a guy. He was going to come live with us for a couple of weeks until he got back on his feet.
Yes, I specifically said a couple of weeks.
9 months later, I'm like, you got to go, dude.
10 months. 10 months.
I'm like, you got to go. Now, and here's the weird thing. This guy is not an untrustworthy guy as far as, you know, he's not known as being a thief or anything like that.
No.
As a matter of fact, he started outfitting our house with lots of crap.
I went, okay, I got suicidal, went in Charter Oak for 2 weeks. I come back. He's redecorated my house. I was
with
like,
stuff,
can I go back to Charter now?
With stuff from the dollar store.
I had, like, clear Lucite light-up dolphins on my television. I was like, no, I need to go back
He
in.
Bought some electric candles at the dollar store.
Put
that when you put batteries in them, they appeared like they were lighting up like a candle. And I'm like, Teddy,
no.
that's the, oh, well.
Well, you said it now.
I'm like, that's got to go. That's got to go. And then he did some things in my daughter's room. She was living at her mom's for a while. And she's like, oh my God. She goes, but the paper towel rack's pretty cool. He put a paper towel rack on her wall in her room.
Huh.
Now that she ended up liking. She goes, I like that. I don't have to go all the way to the kitchen if I need a paper towel. But, so I don't know if that's so much a trust issue except for the fact I'm only going to be there a couple of weeks.
Speaking of boundaries, I mean, I'm a fairly trusting person. And yes, that does mean I get burned sometimes and I just say, okay, well, that happened. Part of that's on me because I trusted that person. And I move on. But I do have some boundaries. Like if we have somebody newer that's staying in our house overnight or whatever, I will admit that I put all of my jewelry in a plastic baggie and put it under my pillow when I go to sleep. And I take it with me. I do that.
I don't even remember who it was that stayed here, but somebody stayed, and they were going to stay in our son Connor's room. And we packed up every PlayStation game there was. And anything that looked valuable of any kind.
Yeah, put it in your room.
And put it in our room. Where we were. So, Mark. Shelley.
What?
What are your final words on...
You were going to him first.
Well, I was. But I know how much you love to go first.
I don't know. I could close with
something. In lots of ways.
My stepdaughter once. Because she came to me, she has trust issues. She doesn't trust very many people at all.
No.
And I told her that, you know, maybe part of the reason why you don't trust people is because you know that you do things that make you untrustworthy. And you see yourself reflected in other people. And she thought about it, and I didn't get much of a response. She just kind of went away and never talked to me about it again. But I think that that's very true. I tend to trust people because I know I'm a trustworthy person.
Agreed.
And I'm okay mostly with the fact that I know that I'm going to get burned sometimes. I would rather get burned than not be able to give trust to people because I'm just not comfortable. I feel like I don't like being a suspicious person. It doesn't make me comfortable, but I think that everybody has to find their own trust level where they're comfortable. That's all.
Mark?
I have two. One goes off what Shelley just said. I'd rather get burned once in a while than not be close enough to the fire to stay warm.
There you go.
That's a good one.
And the other one is, pay attention to what it says in the book when you're sharing in meetings. Our stories disclose, in a general way, what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like today. You want to get specific, do it at your own peril.
My final words are, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Shelley, people want to go to our show page.
Awesome. They should do that.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Recovery101.net.
Just go to recovery101.net. Click on permalink because the other one is broken.
It's not broken.
It's not broken.
Well,
just
you got a better shot.
Click on a show. Click on permalink.
Click like. If you are a member, that's awesome. And you've been counted.
You may be able to log in and
you
like the show.
You may be able to log in several times and like the show. Who knows? If you are not a member, we would like you to become a member if you can. It is free.
And fun.
And you can get automatic updates of when we post the shows. You can like and comment on old shows, leave topic suggestions in the top show piece so Bruce can see them. And you can follow us and put us on playlists for all your hot party needs.
Sweet. Mark.
Yes.
We have a friend back east.
That would be Bruce.
The Other White Meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
He reads fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or a place where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he will send you several hard copies to strew about the facility.
For free.
For free.
You've got email addresses at recovery101radio at gmail.com and recovery101radiosales@gmail.com if you'd like to become an advertiser or sell advertising for us. We have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
The lead out music is by Sean Van Domlin.
Sean Van Domlin at SleepyPilotMusic.com. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.